and welcome to another edition of the UK Law Weekly podcast with me, your host, Marcus Cleaver. This week we are going to be looking at the case of In the Matter of an Application by RM for Judicial Review, numbers 1 and 2. The citation for this case is 2024 UKSC 7. And the case that we are looking at this week discusses mental health law, but does so in a way that examines Northern Irish legislation next to similar legislation for the rest of the UK. While the judicial review was brought forward by RM, the full name of this case makes it clear that it was actually brought on his behalf by his father because of the severe mental impairment from which RM suffers. Back in 2018, RM was charged with a series of violent and sexual offences. However, before any sort of trial could occur, he was found to be unfit to be tried, and so a trial of the facts took place without examining intent or RM's knowledge of his own actions. The jury found that RM had committed the unlawful acts, and so the judge made an order admitting him to hospital for medical treatment under the Mental Health Northern Ireland Order 1986. The effect of this was that RM was detained in a psychiatric ward and could not be discharged without the consent of the Department of Justice of Northern Ireland or the Mental Health Review Tribunal. In 2019, RM made such an application for discharge to the tribunal. This was opposed by the Department of Justice, but the medical evidence pointed towards RM being given a leave of absence so that he could begin receiving treatment outside of the hospital in a community-based setting, with a view to RM being ultimately discharged with the consent of the Department of Justice. Now, the 1986 order that I just mentioned states that a patient may only continue to be compulsorily detained if, quote, the patient is no longer suffering from mental illness or severe mental impairment of a nature or degree which warrants his detention in hospital for medical treatment, end quote. Thus, it could be argued that if RM no longer needs to be detained in a hospital for medical treatment, then there are no grounds for him continuing to be compulsorily detained. This is the argument that RM made before the tribunal, but whilst it was acknowledged that he would be moving to live in a community-based setting, he would nonetheless remain a patient receiving treatment in a hospital setting, and so he would be denied discharge. That decision prompted the current judicial review, but RM's appeal failed in the High Court. However, the Northern Ireland Court of Appeal sided with RM and held that the High Court and Tribunal had applied the wrong legal test. As a result, the Tribunal and the Department of Justice now jointly appealed to the Supreme Court, which is where we pick things up. The justices began with the 1986 order, and pointed out that the equivalent piece of legislation in England and Wales is the Mental Health Act 1983. There are naturally a lot of similarities between the two, but there are also some differences in wording as well. In this case, the Northern Ireland Order requires the mental disorder to warrant the patient's detention in hospital, while the 1983 Act states that the disorder must make it appropriate for the patient to receive treatment in hospital. When the appeal came before the Northern Ireland Court of Appeal, great emphasis was placed on this difference in phrasing. It was suggested that the word warrant creates a test of strict necessity, which represents a higher threshold compared to the test of appropriateness under English and Welsh law. Thus, in Northern Ireland, it followed that if it was not strictly necessary for RM to be detained in a hospital, then, according to the Court of Appeal, he should be discharged. However, the Supreme Court disagreed with this approach. They noted that the history of legislation shows that different words have often been used interchangeably. The use of the word appropriate in the 1983 Act is designed to mean that it will only ever be appropriate to detain someone in hospital when it is necessary to do so. As such, the two tests are the same, despite the different wording, and case law from England and Wales can be relied upon in Northern Ireland. This test also exists in the wider context of authorised leaves of absence for patients, which is something else that the justices discussed. Such periods of leave are an important tool in both a medical sense and for the purpose of rehabilitation. However, just because a patient is authorised for a period of leave, that does not mean that they necessarily no longer satisfy the test for compulsory detention. This is because while a patient is on a leave of absence, the leave can still be revoked, and the patient can be recalled to hospital. According to the legislation, a patient is constantly, quote, liable to be detained, end quote, when they are subject to an order for their detention, and when they have been authorised for a leave of absence. Periods of leave are an important part of a holistic treatment process and for managing risk. It is an important aspect of assessing how effective treatment in the psychiatric ward has been up to this point, but that does not mean throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense that a patient who is deserving of a period of leave should also simply no longer be subject to compulsory detention. Thus, the appeal by the tribunal and the Department of Justice was successful. I think that the actual decision in this case was likely correct. As the Supreme Court points out, authorised leaves of absence are a valuable part of the treatment and rehabilitation for any patient. The concern would be that if granting a leave of absence would also mean that the patient was no longer compulsorily detained, then a defensive practice of not utilising leaves of absence would be adopted. Let us not forget that in this case, RM is not just a patient, but also a violent offender, and if the choice is between detention and release, then it is not difficult to see why the Department of Justice would consistently choose the former. The Court of Appeal might have thought that it was doing the right thing by RM, but it was not in the best long-term interests of mental health patients. One of the interesting things about this case on a slightly meta level is the questions it raises about jurisdictional competence. What I mean by this is that we have a case here where the top court in Northern Ireland is making a decision about the correct interpretation of Northern Ireland legislation. However, that decision is then appealed to the Supreme Court, which is a court in central London, where the lead judgment is handed down by an English justice in line with the English and Welsh legislative regime. Of course, Northern Ireland remains part of the UK for the time being, and this is just how the legal system operates. But that does not stop it from feeling slightly odd, or at worst, colonial. I don't think that this should have changed the decision in this case that was, let us not forget, supported by the Department of Justice in Northern Ireland and the lower courts and tribunals. Nevertheless, the justices of the Supreme Court should be cognizant of this dynamic when they hand down their decisions that impact the law outside of England. Well, thank you very much for tuning into this podcast, and thanks as ever to bensound.com who provide the theme music. A quick reminder before we go that if you would like to support the podcast and help to keep it ad-free, then you can subscribe to my newsletter and earn yourself some nice perks, including more content from me each week and a free ebook on how to answer essay questions on a law degree. This week in the newsletter, we covered some of the legal trouble that the science minister has recently got herself involved in. If that sounds like something you're interested in, then do check out the link in the description to this podcast episode. Anyway, I'll be back with another episode next week, but for now, bye!